Third Bible's to Galatians chapter 5, and we're considering here about the fruit of the Spirit and taking a look at them. And here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about this passage, talk about the works of the flesh, and they are works, and they are as filthy rags before the Lord. But the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God brings a fruit, a peaceable fruit, a blessed fruit. And we've taken a look at the fruit of love. We've taken a look at the fruit of joy. Let's touch on this fruit of joy a little bit, and then we're going to move on to the fruit of peace that's to be manifested in us. I want you to turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, where we left off last time. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, and he talks here about our election, our sanctification of verse number 2, the obedience to the call of the Lord, the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, he praises the Lord, he speaks about the lively hope, the inheritance that we have in Christ, and the keeping of the Lord in verse number 5, and he says, wherein, in those things, ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's tough on the skin, but nothing can take away our inheritance. Nothing can take away the calling of the Lord upon us. Nothing can take away the lively hope that we have. It is a living hope. It's not a dead hope, is it? It's not a maybe so, maybe won't be, maybe will be kind of hope. But we know it's so because the Lord's promised it. Amen? And He loved us with an everlasting love. He set us apart unto Himself. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, before the world was even created. The Lord loved me. He loved you if you're here and you're saved. And so we rejoice in those things. Amen? He said, we greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a season this old body's got it tough. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That testing of our faith. Why is it that the trial of our faith is more precious than the refining of gold? Price of gold's really going up through the roof in recent times, hadn't it? I mean, you can just have a little old dab of gold and get some money out of it. But the trying of our faith is more precious than that. Why? Why? Because the trying of our faith, when we come through a trial, when we come through a hardship, when we come through and are delivered by the Lord and unto the praise and honor and glory of the Lord, our faith exercised in that trial is yet a continued glorification of our great God and Savior. That's the reason it's more precious. Gold will burn up one day. But what about our faith? Is the faith going to burn up? No, because it's in the Lord. He's blessed us with it. He's saved us. He's called us. He's given it to us. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That were yet found when He does come by faith looking for Him, and we are found looking for Him when He comes. That'll be to His praise and honor and glory. That we've been blessed and we've persevered. And whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though ye now see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We think about if our heart is clear and we don't have unconfessed sins and we've got good fellowship. I think we'll touch on that possibly tonight about that fellowship that we have with the Lord. And we've got that good fellowship, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, And us experiencing that, seeing that come to pass, does it make you sad? Does it drag you down? Does it hurt your mind? No, it makes us joyful, doesn't it? We rejoice in it, and it's joy unspeakable. The Lord has revealed that unto us. He's given that unto us. He's shown that unto us, and we love it. We look forward to it. It is full of glory to think, to be with Christ and to be like Christ. Amen. And to be in a sinless body and be rid of this old corruption of this flesh and this mind. It brings us joy. And see what it says in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know, salvation of the soul, salvation of the life, salvation of the body, salvation, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, our salvation will be complete, won't it? It's as good as done now. But then, it'll be fulfilled, won't it? In every respect, in every way. I tell you what, if that doesn't make you happy, if that doesn't make your joy bubble up, then something's wrong.
Amen.
Something's wrong. Might have something you need to repent about before the Lord. Might be distant in that fellowship with the Lord. We all have times, we all have issue. And may the Lord help us in it. 1 John chapter 1. Take a look over here. 1 John chapter 1. Here John says, oh, we've been around the Savior. We've touched Him. We've seen Him. We've heard Him. I was there with Him. He reminds us, He reminds those that He's writing to about that in verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, the life was manifested in verse 2. We have seen it. We bear witness of it. We show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. We, having not seen the Lord physically, but we have seen Him spiritually. We know that it's so. We know that the rescue is so in Him. We know that our salvation is so because of Him. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We have seen Him. That which we have seen and heard, verse 3, declare we unto you. John says, I don't have anything new. I'm just telling you what we know. I'm telling you what we've seen, that you may have, that we may, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And we do have that fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, don't we? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our backgrounds, our family life, our history, our work, everything about us may be totally and completely different one from another. But when it comes down to the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got commonality, don't we? We got fellowship in Him. We have rejoicing in Him. I just love it. I love it to go somewhere new, to go to a different church and meet brothers and sisters in Christ and immediately enjoy the fellowship that we have with them because of Christ. We don't have to talk about our work or our family or what we did growing up or what this or that or the other. We've got fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. It's just a blessing. Go across the country and go to a church and visit a church and meet brothers and sisters there. I tell you, it's great. When you go on vacation, don't bail out of church. Go to church services. Go to church services and find a church to go to that's of like faith and order and go meet somebody. Go on vacation. That's good. It's good to go on vacation. Go on vacation and go to services somewhere. Don't forget about the Lord's Day and meet brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoy that blessing of that. He says, he goes on here, he says, and these things, verse number three, didn't finish with that, that ye may also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I talked the other day about how it is that we need to be involved in personal worship of the Lord. Personal worship is not a substitution for collective public worship. Collective and public worship is no substitution for personal and private worship. We need to be worshiping the Lord in these respects, in both of these respects. And the thing is it's a manifestation of our fellowship. Is God the Father someone that you, claiming to be saved, have a difficulty approaching unto? If that's the case, something's wrong with the relationship. Amen? I mean, something is wrong with the relationship. The Scripture says that we have been made to be accepted in the Beloved. Amen? That we are able to come boldly. And that boldly doesn't mean cocky and heady and high-minded and with an attitude in the modern-day vernacular. But it means we belong. We're able to. We're privileged to. We're bidden to. But if we don't have fellowship with the Lord, something's wrong. If we don't have fellowship with our Savior, something's wrong. That fellowship is there. And John, he reminds them of that. He says, verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He says, I've reminded you of some things, and in these things, our joy is to be full. In the fellowship with the Lord, in the fellowship one with another, in the things that the Lord has done for us, the the experiencing of the Lord, the seeing of the Lord, in our case, through the eyes of faith. John was able to see Him face to face. John saw Him die on Calvary, didn't he? And he remembers that. Well, we didn't see the Lord physically dying on Calvary with these two eyes, but we know and believe that He did so for us personally, don't we? Right? We see it through faith. And we know that He, in verse number 1, is from the beginning. We haven't touched Him, but we do know He is the Word of life. See that capital W for the word? That's His name, isn't it? And we've experienced life from the Word. That ought to bring us joy.
Amen.
It brings us joy. And then He goes on, He says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Here's the message that we've heard of Him in verse 5, "And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." I had a fellow that I worked for years ago when I first moved to St. Louis, and he was explaining to me about the theory of relativity and how it is that it's believed that if we could ever travel the speed of light, that as we would be able to approach the speed of light or achieve the travel at the speed of light, that time would nigh unto stand still. And this verse, I recalled that when he would, that's the way God is. He's ageless, isn't He? He's eternal. He is light. And there's not even a hint of darkness. It says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Not even a shadow, right? Not even a shadow with the Lord. He is light. And He says, in Him is no darkness at all. And then so He says, "I'm writing this to you that your joy may be full." God's light, and we are His. If we say, verse 6, "we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness," we lie and do not the truth. Why? Because God is light. That makes us joyful. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I can understand being bashful. I can understand that. But I don't understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord having saved our souls and not wanting to fellowship one with another. I don't comprehend not going around and shaking your brothers and sisters' hands. I don't comprehend and not having a concern and a care about one another's lives. It's not to be amongst us. The Lord knows us and He fellowships with us so very, very closely, and that should be manifested in our lives one to another. I tell you, brothers and sisters, don't come into the church house and come to your seat and just plop down. But mingle. Go visit your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't make it so that you might go days or weeks on end and never shake the hand of your brother or sister in Christ. Amen? Amen. It ought not to be. It ought not to be. "But Jim, I'm afraid of getting sick." Well, put on some of that juice back there and go ahead and shake their hand. Amen. Because see, we have fellowship one with another. The fellowship brings us joy. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Yeah, I'm still a sinner. I've been saved, but I'm still a sinner. And I tell you what, this next part brings me joy. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That ought to bring us joy. Amen? A full joy. I'm in this strait. My soul is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God living within. But this old body doesn't care for it. And this old mind doesn't want it. He's got to be pinned down. He's got to be beat down. He's got to be mortified. And when he rises up, when the old man rises up and he does sin, this old mind picks up the junk and the garbage that it does. And I sin against my Lord and Savior. I've got forgiveness if I just take it to Him and repent of it. Lord, I'm wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. Help me that I would not anymore. Tell you what, if that doesn't bring us joy, the sin doesn't bring us joy. It shouldn't. There is pleasure in sin for a season. we're subject to that. But when the end of that sin is done, it brings guilt, doesn't it? It should. And there's forgiveness for that. And when we take it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us, we should well forgive ourselves also. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. The sinless perfection crowd, they are just blown away by this passage, aren't they? John writes, he says, I'm writing these things. Verse 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. The word of God brings joy. If we don't know it, how can we have any joy? Amen? If we don't know it, how can we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord that will bring joy? How will we be able to face trial and temptation? How is it that we can be prepared to be used of God, to be a good witness of Him, if we're not filled with the Word? And the Word brings joy, doesn't it? And forgiveness. Forgiveness also brings joy. The joy of the Lord. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. These are familiar scriptures to you, I know. But we started off and we took a look about how there was there with Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord, he said unto the people, there is our strength. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that you've heard the word of God. You've understood the sense of it. We saw that the word of God brings joy. The blessing and touch and deliverance of the Lord brings joy. It is our strength. We took a look about how the Lord, as says there in Hebrews, that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame, right? And that there's joy in heaven over one sinner, joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that'll repent, that repenteth. And we took a look how there's how the Lord said it was joyous for Him to be alive for us. And then we understand and see here from what we read in Peter, that the trial of our faith brings joy. And we end up here in a place that speaks to this also in James chapter 1, verse number 1. Verse number 2, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Boy, I mean, you know, the old man doesn't want that. But what is it about the temptation? What is it about the trial? When we embark upon the trial, we face the trial, it comes our way, we are made aware of it, and we see it and we say, uh-oh. Hardship, trial, issue, something to deal with, something to stand in, something to be strong in. We ought to immediately, may the Lord help us to immediately think, opportunity for the Lord to show His power. See, that's what we ought to think. Instead of saying, oh, woe is me, here we go again. Isn't that our tendency? Right? That's our tendency. But instead of saying that, I say, opportunity for the Lord to show His power. This is really, really tough. This is really, really bad. We have with Joseph. We don't want Joseph to have what he has, but he does. Opportunity for the Lord to show His power. Okay? Not nearly as severe as something that a child his age could have time over and time again. But even in those things, opportunity for the Lord to show His power. Count it all joy. That when the trial comes, we're faced with the trial, we know that it's there, that we would be joyful that the Lord's going to manifest His power in it. Now, it's going to take some time, isn't it? Going to take some waiting and some patience, isn't it? Yeah. Going to take some abiding, if you will. Yeah. It will. We want everything now, but it may not be now. And in that, we need to have our hearts and our mindset. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The trials coming along is going to work faith, work patience, and it's going to round us out as the child of God. It's going to cause us to grow. How many of us grew as children without having growing pains? Most of us had growing pains, didn't we? Same way it is with being a child of God. Relative to this, I want you to turn over here to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I just want to remind you of this. And let we be reminded of this relative to joy. Remember, for the joy that was set before the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Scripture says here, he talks about, he has been talking about the servants and serving their masters with all fear, and about the enduring of grief, even wrongfully. He says if you get buffeted or smacked because you did something wrong, you take it patiently. That's the way it is. But if you do well and you suffer for it, that's acceptable to God. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. The Lord suffered patiently, didn't he? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. The Lord suffered patiently. And was he guilty of anything? Nothing. But he suffered patiently. And what's it say? He left us an example. I need to handle things and deal with things in my life. I'll need you to remind me of it. But I need to handle them, deal with them, deal with the trial, deal with the hardship, deal with the thing that comes along like the Lord Jesus Christ would. And you know what? I can't do that. But the Lord in us can he? Yes. The new man can. And you know what? It'll bring us joy. We'll be able to say when the trial comes, even though that looks hard, and we might be mournful and sorrowful in the flesh, in the spirit we can have joy that the Lord's going to manifest his power. A way of thinking, a way of living. May the Lord help us in that. Let's take a look here at peace. Love, joy, peace. The world's looking for peace. The Lord says at his coming that the world is going to be shouting peace, peace, peace. Peace and safety, peace and safety. But you know, anything that man can bring and anything that Satan and the world system and all that will bring is always a false peace, isn't it? It's not peace like the Lord is talking about. It's not biblical peace at all. Look here in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, here, as the Lord is with his church before his crucifixion, we pick it up here in verse number 21. John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest or show myself to him. You want to know more about the Lord? You want to know more about the Father? Obey him. Brother Jim, I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and wonderful and great, excellent things. I'll tell you what. We won't be able to grow in the great things, whatever they are, okay? We maybe have thinking or expectation like that. We won't be able to grow or go in to understand those things till we deal with what we've been given on the front end, amen? That's the way that is. That's the way it is with the Lord. And so he says, he that hath my commandments, okay, he's got them, and keeps them, okay, now has them and keeping them. He it is that loveth me, manifests the love for the Lord. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. The Father loves also, and I will love him, and I will manifest, I will show myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? How is it you're going to show yourself, reveal yourself to us, and not reveal yourself to the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And what are they? Right here. Okay? The Bible, the Scripture. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What's another word for what that just said? Fellowship. Right? And the same thing we saw over there in regards to dealing with joy, isn't it? Fellowship. We only know the Lord as much as we know him in his word. These things, verse 25, have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm telling these things to you in advance. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, church, all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Listen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Kind of sounds like joy too, doesn't it? Right? The Lord said that He said a very similar thing about joy, about His giving us His joy. He had joy in delivering us, and in delivering us and in saving us and redeeming us, He imparts that joy unto us. Same way with peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth peace, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's so very much like we considered over there in James and considered over there in 1 Peter. Same kind of thing, isn't it? Resting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Having faith in the Lord. When this life comes along, we say, Lord, it's an opportunity for you to show your power. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go my way and come again to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And this is kind of, I believe it's somewhat connected to what we've been seen and seen on Sunday mornings about how it is that the Spirit of God, the Comforter in the church, is going to rebuke the world of, reprove the world of righteousness because He's with the Father. He fulfilled all righteousness. And He's with the Father. And He says here to His disciples that are wanting Him to stay with Him, right? If you understood that I was going to the Father, you'd be happy. And you'd be rejoicing. And you'd want me to go. Now, they're not wanting Him to go. That's so much like us, isn't it? Here's what is good and of the Lord, and I want this. Here's what's good and of the Lord, and I want this. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away, verse 28, and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. I'm telling you in advance that I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to the Father to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill all things. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. He says, I'm going on to fulfill what the Father's given me to do. I'm going on to the cross to obey my Father. I'm going on to that death and to that suffering and to that death and to that burial. I'm going to obey what the Father has given me to do. To obey Him and for your sakes and to go on to Him, because my going on to Him is going to be the sending of the Comforter. It's going to be the working of the Lord in my church and the fulfilling of the word and plan and purpose of God. Rejoice in it and be at peace in it. Be at peace. You know, the world looks on at Olmsted Baptist Church or other churches, even churches that are smaller than ours, have fewer members than ours, and they look on and they say, what can that do? Doesn't look like much to the world. Doesn't seem to have much power, much ability. What can that do? Well, that, by the power and majesty and greatness of God, can do wonders. Because that is what the Lord is interested in. His people and His churches preaching His gospel and baptizing believers and teaching those that are added to the church to observe all things that are contained in the Scripture that we are to do. That is what the Lord is interested in, and that is what the Lord is using to spread His truth and spread His gospel and His word across this whole world. And you know what? Whether how big we get or how small we are, we need to be at peace. Amen? At peace. The Lord's peace. Not circumstance. Not what people are yelling and screaming about us. But what the Lord says in His Word and what He's given us to do. And we press and we press and we press to do that and be at peace. You know, we need to be at peace with the Lord, don't we? And what causes an upset with that peace? Well, our sin. We need to get rid of that, repent of it, and get rid of it. What will give us trouble amongst each other to where we won't be at peace with one another? Well, our sin. and a lack of manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, right? And then what about peace with the world? Well, we may not have peace with the world, but we need to have peace with the Lord and one another, don't we? And that's the peace that the Lord's talking about. Even though the world may assail us, may the world may hate us, even the world, though the Lord, world may abuse us, we need to have peace. Peace. And we can only have it in confidence with the Lord. See, the Lord doesn't talk about what we can do, but it talks about what He's doing, right? Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace. Peace. When the Lord, you remember, and there's a couple of accounts in the Gospels about it, when the Lord Jesus Christ had given His life and was buried and then raised from the dead, when He came into the midst of His church, two or three of the Gospels declare it, when He came into the midst of His church, He miraculously appeared before them in His flesh, in a body, right? In a body that they could touch. He said, "Handle me and feel," right? He told Thomas, He said, "Take your fingers and stick them in my hand." He said, "Take your hand and stick it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." When He appeared to them, what did He say? Remember what He said? "Peace be unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, but be at peace." Be at peace. Those that have been martyred for the sake of the Lord over the centuries and even the millennia, if you read anything much at all about those that stood for a vitally important doctrine in the Word of God, doctrine, the teaching, and what the Scripture bears out, that children should not be baptized or put under the water. They stood for that. They stood for that even though those that were vehement against them would take them and even kill their children. That's hard to think about, isn't it? But they would not compromise what God said in His Word, that baptism is for believers. And children can't believe until they would be of an age that they can testify that they believe. They stood for that, and even to the death of their families, the torture of their families, the death and torture of their children, and the world marvels at the peace that they had to do so. You know, we can't trade or plan on getting that in advance. That's only something that the Lord will do and give grace for right on time. But see, that's peace and being able to rest in the Lord, isn't it? Peace with Him, knowing that He is preeminent and there's no other way to go, and over what the world will look at is a very, very simple thing. Why don't you let us just take your child and put him under the water? No, because it doesn't bring salvation, because it's contrary to the Word of God. "I will never give my consent," they would say. "I'll never give my consent." They might take their child and go ahead and do it by force, but they would not give their consent to do so, that it was right, that it was scriptural, that it was of the Lord. And their persecutors and tormentors marveled at the peace that they had. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us that we have peace. Not be afraid. Count it joy in all things in life, knowing that the Lord's power is going to be manifested in us. May the Lord help us in it and have peace as we go.